Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Lord's house on this lovely Sabbath morning. There's just one verse of Scripture. It's our motto text, and it's in keeping with the theme of our message this Sabbath morning that we want to read to you. Remember, the motto text is Hosea chapter 10 and the verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And it's especially the words towards the end of the verse that we emphasized in the motto text this year. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. We're going to sing together the opening verses of the 40th Psalm as our opening praise. It's the verses 1 to 5. It means that we sing six verses. The fifth verse is a double verse. And again, they're in keeping with our theme, I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. So we're going to invite you to stand as we sing these verses together, please. To bow in prayer, and we'll pray the Lord will be with us today. We pray from the very beginning of the meeting that you'll know the Lord to be near to you, want to pray the Lord will speak to us, and he'll pour out his blessing greatly upon this meeting. So let's just still our hearts together. Our Father, we do draw near to thee in the attitude of prayer. We cry just that you'll come and grant us of thy power today. We feel very keenly our weakness and our emptiness. We pray for the Spirit of God to come down upon the meeting. In the words of that lovely chorus, we would plead with thee, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. We ask, Father, that you would give to us even the power of Pentecost today. We pray that the anointing of your Spirit will rest upon both of these services. We ask that the Holy Ghost will come today and guide us. We pray that he will lead us through the service. We pray, Father, we'll know his guiding hand in all that takes place. We want to pray that he will guide, especially in the words that are spoken, the things that are said. We pray today for a message from thyself. We want to pray, Father, that the Word of God will come with great power, even to our hearts today. We thank you for the Bible, for the Book of God. We rejoice today in the light of Scripture. We thank you for the book you've given to us to guide us through this dark world. As the psalmist said, this book is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, we do praise thee for giving to us the blessing of thy word. We're conscious that even there are people groups across the world that even yet do not have a copy of the scriptures in their own language. We pray, Father, we'll not take your word for granted. We ask for a deeper love for it, a deeper desire to read it and to study it and to feed upon it. We ask, Father, in the words of the hymn writer, that you would break the bread of life to us. We ask that that will be our experience, even here in this house today. Lord, we have need of food for our souls, and we want to pray that you will feed us today. And we thank you for all that has taken place in connection with the witness of this church today already. Thank you for the Sunday school, the boys and girls. We pray, Father, that you'll be with them. We thank you for all the children of the congregation. We want to pray for the children. Remember the Saviour, when he was here on earth, he took them up in his arms. He put his hands upon them and blessed them. And Lord, we want to cry as a congregation for all the children of our families. Put your hand upon them and bless them. We ask from their earliest days, give them a love for your house. Give them a desire for your word. But Lord, most of all, our prayer is that you will save the children of this congregation. Bring them to Christ. Pray that each one will be born again. We know the desire, Father, upon the heart of every parent, every grandparent, that the children would know the Saviour, answer their prayers. Lord, do bless our families with household salvation. And we want to pray, Father, that you'll use our families even throughout the community and each place where they're located. We pray, Father, that all our homes and families would be a testimony for Christ, a light for the gospel. Lord, we recognize in your sovereignty you've placed us throughout this community that we might be a witness for the Lord. We pray, Father, that our lives would ever stand out for Christ in all that we would do. We pray that as your word exhorts, that we'll walk circumspectly and not as fools. We want to pray, Father, for this church. We thank you for it. We pray for your blessing to rest upon this church, even as we pass through these very difficult days. Lord, come down in great blessing. We ask for a move of God. We ask that you'll bless us in revival. Lord, we recognize our need of revival in these days, the dearth, the darkness, and the deadness that is all around us. Lord, come down mightily upon us by your Spirit. Remember that your word says that great cry that will not turn us, O God, and we shall be turned. And Lord, we would ask thee to turn this land, turn the tide in this land, the tide of evil that is arising around us. Think of our motto text. Thank you for these words, the encouragement of them, write them upon our hearts. Lord, it is time to seek the Lord. Of that there is no doubt. We think of the days in which we're found, the great spiritual needs of this land of ours. Lord, give us that burden to call upon thee. It's time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us. And Lord, we're asking for those showers of blessing. We're asking for those times of refreshing that will come from the very presence of our God. Lord, we ask that you just be with us today. Come and lead us through the meeting. Come and give us your help. Pray that this service will know the touch of God resting upon it. Pray that everyone that is here will be blessed in the meeting. Pray it'll be a blessing for them to be in the house of God. Lord, ever make us a blessing the one to the other. We think of the great blessing that you've given to us of Christian fellowship, gathering together to encourage, to exhort one another. Lord, give us wisdom, even in our conversations, our dealings, the one with the other. Lord, make us channels of blessing. We think of several in our congregation that have been on well in recent days, even with the COVID. We ask thee to be near to them. Thank you for the recovery that they're making. We ask that that recovery will continue. And Father, all that are unable to be here today because of sickness or perhaps because of age and weakness, just be near, Father, to each one. We pray that they'll be encouraged. Those that are watching even the service online, we pray it'll be a blessing to their hearts, that they'll be conscious that they're being remembered and thought of and being prayed of and prayed for, even by this congregation. And Lord, we thank you for this significant day. Thank you for Reformation Day, the remembrance of your servant Martin Luther, and Lord, his conversion to Christ, how you used him in the pulling down of strongholds. And Lord, we would pray for another such move in these days. Raise up a strong man endued with power in the preaching of your word. So Father, hear our cries and abide with us now. Come and bless this meeting, bless this time, bless our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to read in the scriptures, please. We're reading together today in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 1. Just the opening section of the book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the Acts of the Apostles. The chapter 1, the verse 1, we'll read the first 14 verses, and then we're going to go into chapter 2 and read just the first 4 verses of that chapter also. So Acts 1, verse 1, let's hear the Lord's word. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember, that's the final mention, the final reference of Mary in all the scriptures found in the prayer meeting there in Jerusalem. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in chapter 2, verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we're closing our reading just there today, the end of chapter 2, verse 4. Praying the Lord will bless to all our hearts this, the public reading of his word. We welcome you to the Lord's house on this, the 31st day of October. Remember, this is a very significant day, Reformation Day itself. It's nice to meet in the Lord's house on Reformation Day, 504 years ago today. It was that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door, the Castle Church in Wittenberg, and that marked the commencement of the Great Reformation that shook Europe at that time. So rejoice, we're in the Lord's house. We're going to focus a little more on that tonight, especially in the life of Thomas Bilney. Thomas Bilney was studying to be a Roman Catholic priest, and through the reading of the scriptures, he came to Christ, and he was greatly used. He was martyred, of course, for his faith at that time. So we will take the life of Bilney and a text that was of great interest to Thomas Bilney, the text that was used of God to bring him to Christ. We'll take that as our text in the Gospel tonight. So I ask you to remember that, make that meeting known, and come along and join with us. Just to mention as well that this is today is the 11th anniversary of the commencement of our ministry here in Armagh. It was 11 years on Friday night, fell on exactly the same days, Friday the 29th of October, that we were installed, and then the Lord's Day, the 31st of October, that our ministry commenced. So we're thankful to you for your support, for your faithfulness, your prayers. We value your prayers very much, and all of your encouragement in the work of the Gospel here, your fellowship too, over these last 11 years. And may the Lord be pleased to continue, as the psalmist said, exhorted us to pray, to show us tokens for good in our ministry and the witness of the church here in the days in which we're found. So remember, please, the service tonight. Come to the prayer meeting, 6 o'clock downstairs, 6:30 the gospel service. Preaching myself, we've emphasised to you, we'll take up that theme of the conversion of Thomas Bilney. And from that text then we'll bring a challenge in the gospel message. Tuesday night, remember, the bright hour in Killaloe is off this week. They're off for the half term. But the bright hour here in the church is back. The meeting at 7:15. Wednesday night at 8, the midweek service. We're in a short mini-series on the message of the gates of Jerusalem. We commenced that on Wednesday night past. There's 10 gates in all. So we're looking at each of those gates and the message from them. We encourage you to join with us. Remember the broadcast, Radio Star Country. That's at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoons, medium wave 981. Friday night at 8 is the Youth Fellowship. And the speaker is one of our new youth leaders, Miss Hannah Carson. So we encourage the young people to remember that. Remember the youth meeting. Come along to it. We want all of the young people of the church to support the Youth Fellowship and come along and encourage Hannah, especially with your presence on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 7th of November, Sunday School and Bible classes, 10:40, morning worship, 11:30, the evening gospel meeting at 6:30, and there will be a special dedication taking place in the service next Sunday evening. Little Annie Grace Quinn is going to be dedicated to the Lord, and some of the families, the Quinn and the Gibson family members, will be joining with us. We're looking forward to that, and I encourage you to be present for that service also. Just remind you, there is a special memorial service being held for Dr. Alan Kearns. That is this coming Thursday night at 8 o'clock in the Hebron congregation in Ballymoney. There'll be various folk taking part, various colleagues of the late Dr. Kearns. Everyone is welcome to attend. That is an open meeting if you'd like to go along and to give your support to it. It can also be watched online if you're not able to make it down and you'd like to be a part of that service and to hear the tributes and so on that will be brought to Dr. Kearns. It will be a year coming this Friday since the Lord called his servant home to be with himself. So remember that special memorial service this coming Thursday evening. Just to emphasise again the data protection policy. We ask you to bring your forms back in again. Bring them back as soon as possible. We would like to get all of the paperwork there processed as quickly as we can. And we're thankful to you just for your help and your cooperation in that matter. There is a list that has been drawn up with regard to the senior citizens of the congregation. That's in preparation of the distribution of the Christmas gift to the senior citizens. Just to remind you of the age groups that we work on there. The ladies at 60 and over, the gentlemen at 65 and over. So we'll ask you to take a wee list at the list. It's found in the porch. If your name needs to be added, or a member of your family's name needs to be added, we know from past experience, some are a little reluctant to make it known when they fall into the age bracket required. So if somebody from your family needs to be added, please add them to the list, or alternatively, speak to Wesley and Laura, make that known to them. We just want to make sure that everyone is on the list, everyone receives that Christmas gift that should do. So do please remember that matter. Just to highlight for you, for your prayers, the Lord has been moving and guiding some of our congregations. Some young men have been moving. Some have been taking up their ministry. For the first time, the Reverend Stephen Nelson, the son of the college principal, the Reverend Timothy Nelson, He was ordained and installed in the Rasharkin congregation last Wednesday night. The Reverend Philip Knowles, who was formerly in Lewes in the south of England, he was installed in the London congregation on Thursday night past. The moderator, the clerk, some other ministers, the Reverend Wilson from Sandown. The Reverend Knowles originally came from the Sandown Church, so the brethren travelled over at the end of the week to conduct that special service in London. And then on Friday night, the Reverend Simon Anderson ordained and installed into the work in Auchnacloy. So we bring all of those ministers, the congregations, before you. Just remember them, please pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. Remember the magazines, especially the LTBS Quarterly, and also their calendar for 2022. It's a good witness for the radio work, price £3.50 each. As a congregation, we want to sympathise with our sister, Mrs. Lily Crane, on the death of her cousin, Mr. Mervyn Smith, during the past week, just at the beginning of the week on Monday. Mervyn had taken a heart attack just a few weeks before that. He'd been in hospital, sadly didn't recover from the heart attack, the ill health. His funeral took place on Thursday past. He was 66, just to correct what we had said about his age on Wednesday night past. So I want to assure Lily and Wallace and the whole family circle of our sympathy and our prayers. Just at this time, may they know the Lord drawing near and comforting their hearts. Also, just to mention to you for your prayers, Mrs. Gillian Moore, better known to us as Gillian Gillespie. Gillian's mother-in-law passed away. Mrs. Moore, David's mother, that funeral was at the beginning of the week. And also the Reverend Gordon Dane, past moderator of the denomination, his father, was called home to be with the Lord, and that funeral took place just yesterday afternoon. So please remember all of these folks and pray the Lord will comfort their hearts just at this time. We're going to come to another hymn, please, as we come to the Word of God. Think of the words as you sing them. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. So we're standing to sing the hymn 632, please. Let's just pray together, please. Our Father, we rejoice that we can often come into your presence. We're thankful that there's no limit to the times that we can seek thee. Our cry is that you'll teach us to pray. We ask thee, Father, to lead us on with thyself. Come upon us by your Spirit. Give us liberty at the throne of grace. Grant us power in prayer. Grant us power with God and power with men. Lord, we ask thee to remember our congregation. Bless and encourage the hearts of your people, even in these days. We ask thee, Father, to remember those that grieve. Remember Sister Lily, Brother Wallace, and their whole family circle. We're praying that you'll draw near and comfort their hearts. Remember the Moore family and Inniskillen and the Dane family as well. We're asking, Father, that you'll minister to their needs at this time of bereavement also. We're mindful, Father, of the memory we have of your servant, Dr. Cairns. We were saddened, Father, by his home call that you took him from our midst. We would pray that you'd raise up other such men amongst us. We cry out with the psalmist, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. We pray for your hand upon that special service on Thursday evening as the arrangements are made and all that will take part in it. We ask thee, Father, to encourage your servants that are commencing their ministries at this time, the Reverend Nelson and Rasharkin, the Reverend Knowles there in London, and the Reverend Anderson in Auchnacloy this morning. Lord, put your hand upon these brethren. Endue them with mighty power. Lord, we need an army of preachers that are preaching the gospel in the power and demonstration of your Spirit. We pray that you'll send it to us. We're asking, Father, even as a church, you'll send other laborers, send other preachers, send forth other missionaries too, to take the gospel message even to the ends of the earth. And Lord, we ask thee to abide with us. Give us a special time around the word today. Give to us, Father, a time such as Mary of Bethany had, when the scriptures tell us that she sat at your feet and listened and heard thy word. Lord, we ask thee, help us now. And we pray that this will in truth be a message from the Lord himself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Acts chapter 1, the 14th verse. We'll take it as our text today. Acts 1, 14. These all, think of the names that are set out in the previous verse. These all with one accord, or these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So the theme today is the Christian and the prayer meeting, continuing the series that we're engaged in. I'd like you to ask yourself at the outset this morning, how important is the prayer meeting? How important is the prayer meeting to you? How important is the prayer meeting to us as a congregation? I want to stress, I want you to be in no doubt, that the prayer meeting is the most important meeting in the church, and it is the most important meeting of the week in all the programme of services and activities that are planned. I want you to be in no doubt, brethren and sisters, without a good, vibrant prayer meeting, all other meetings, all other activities, all other outreaches will be weak, and they will be barren. The sad thing is that sometimes the attendances at prayer meetings don't indicate that you feel that the prayer meeting is the most important meeting of the church. For many Christians today, and I ask you to consider whether you fall into this group, but for many Christians today, that they're cold, they're apathetic, they're indifferent to the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is the meeting that is forgotten. The prayer meeting is the meeting that is neglected. And that, brethren and sisters, is something that is to be greatly lamented by the Lord's people. Christians have all sorts of excuses for not being there. I say to you this morning, I'm sure that you would know the excuse that you would give if you were asked why you weren't at the prayer meeting, why you don't come to the midweek service of the church. Can I point out to you, whatever answer you would give on that occasion, it's not a case of whether your answer will satisfy other Christians, other members of the congregation. It's not a case of whether the answer that you would give to that question will keep the minister happy. It's a question of, will that answer be of any value on the day of judgment, when you stand before the Lord and the Lord himself asks you why you didn't attend the prayer meeting of the church at all, or why you didn't attend the prayer meeting more faithfully and more regularly. The reality, for many Christians, the excuses that will be given can only be described by Paul's words in the book of 1 Corinthians. They'll only be wood, hay, and stubble, and they'll be burned up in the fire. I want to stress, brethren and sisters, above all else, in the days in which we live, these very dark, barren days spiritually, above all else, we need a revival in prayer. And we need a revival in the prayer meetings of the church. If we want to have a healthy church, if we want to know and experience the blessing of God, then we must have a healthy prayer meeting in the congregation. And I don't want, as I speak to you this morning, I don't want this just to be another message. I don't want it just to be another message on the prayer meeting. I want this, brethren and sisters, to be a call from God, a call for old-fashioned prayer warriors in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because that, brethren and sisters, is the need. That is the great need of the hour. Those who will give their unwavering support to the prayer meetings of this church. Not just for a week or two. That's often what happens when Christians hear a message like this. But that's not what we're calling for. Not just for a week or two, but that you will give your support to the prayer meetings of the church for the rest of your days upon this earth. What we need is those who will not be diverted from coming to the prayer meeting. We need those who will be determined to come. They will not be discouraged from coming. Regardless of what happens, what situation arises, regardless of what comes in their lives, regardless of the days in which we live, and regardless of what others will do, don't be influenced by the example of others. We need those who will come to the prayer meetings and pray down the blessing of God upon the witness of the gospel in this place. So I want to appeal to you, brethren and sisters. I want to appeal to you today, if you've never been to a prayer meeting of the church, I urge you to start and come. Come along to the midweek service. I want to urge you, if you have been sporadic in your attendance, just coming now and again, the odd special meeting, something of that nature, I want to encourage you today to be more consistent in your support. I want to appeal, if you have lapsed in your attendance of the prayer meeting, for whatever reason, I've highlighted already the answers, the excuses people give. But if you have lapsed in your attendance and haven't been out for a while, pray the Lord will speak to you about that. And I urge you to come and start again in your regular support of the prayer meeting of the church. So I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, I want to urge you as a Christian, I want to urge you as a congregation to focus on the prayer meetings and to see afresh how vitally important this meeting is, this midweek service, how vitally important it is to the witness and the testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ. Some things you learn in this passage about the prayer meeting, let me set them out for you just as quickly as we can. Think first of all of the priority of the prayer meeting. We're told there in the text, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. It's important to note the priority that the early church gave to the prayer meeting. I want you to see, brethren and sisters, the first thing they did when they come back from the Mount of Olives after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that's recorded in the book of Acts, the first meeting that they held in carrying out the great commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, the first meeting was the prayer meeting of the church. So that emphasizes clearly the priority the early church gave to gathering together for prayer. So brethren and sisters, that is the place, be in no doubt of it today. That is the place the prayer meeting needs to have in the life of this church. And I want to impress that on all your hearts today. It must have priority over everything else. And I pray that that truth will grip your hearts through this message this morning. If we want the Lord to bless, if we want the Lord to work, if we want to see this city moved for God, if we want to see this city stirred by the message of the gospel, then we need to get back to the prayer meeting, seeking the Lord for a move of His Spirit. And remember, this is something that is often stressed in the Scriptures. Paul said to Timothy, I exhort therefore that, notice the words, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So it's clear that prayer should have first place. It should have first place in the church. It should have first place in our plans, in our program of meetings. Before everything else, time must be given to prayer. You think of this question. What was the first meeting held in Europe in the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, it was a prayer meeting. Remember Paul in Philippi? Keep in mind that Philippi is in Europe, Macedonia. Well, when Paul was in Philippi, the first thing he did is he went down to the river, to the place where prayer was wont to be made. So never forget that, brethren and sisters. The work of the gospel in Europe, it began in a prayer meeting of the church. And that should be of special interest to us. It should be of special encouragement to us as we live in the western extremity of Europe. But brethren and sisters, that's the place where every work for God should begin. Begins in the prayer meeting. So I want to urge you today to follow that example. Begin your labors for the Lord. Remember, you're saved to serve. Well, begin your labors for the Lord here in the weekly prayer meeting of the church. The Savior said, quoting from the Old Testament scriptures, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Just think of those words and ask, what is to be the primary work? What is to be the primary business of the Lord's people, of all that goes on in God's house? Well, the answer is prayer. Notice the Savior didn't say, my house shall be called the house of preaching. He didn't say, my house shall be called the house of praise. And it is, brethren and sisters, both of those things. They're important parts of the activity of the church and of the worship of God. No, he said above everything else that his house, this building, this congregation should be known as a place of prayer. That's where the main emphasis should be. And if it's not, if the prayer meeting doesn't have a priority in your life, I want you to know you've got your priorities wrong. You're not following God's order as it's set out in the Scriptures. I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, make the prayer meeting a priority. Make it a priority in your life. Make it a priority in your home. Always make the prayer meeting a priority in your family. Make sure that your family is always represented. Even if everybody can't come, we understand that. Because of sickness and young children and all of those things, we appreciate that not everybody from the family can come. But see to it that every week your family at least is represented in the prayer meeting of the church. And especially if you have a position in the church, those in leadership positions in the work, it goes without saying, you should be at the prayer meeting. You should make it a priority to be there. If you want the Lord to bless your labours, if you want the Lord to bless the department of the church that you're involved in, well, here's where you need to begin. Can I warn you today, always be careful about the things that you say to other Christians about the church and its activities, its outreach. And especially in this context, let me emphasize, be careful what you say to others about the prayer meetings. Remember the spies that brought back what the Bible describes as an evil report of the Promised Land. Well, remember it was that evil report that kept Israel out of the Promised Land, kept them out of the place that God had for them, the place of blessing, for 40 years. So let me ask you, what have you said to others about the prayer meetings of the church? Have you brought an evil report? Is that the reason why others don't come? Is that the reason why other people think the prayer meeting is important? Was your words, your report, your influence that put them off attending the prayer meeting? If that is the case, what you need to do is go to that person and admit your fault, tell them that you were wrong, and encourage them. Do all you can to encourage them out to the prayer meetings of the church. You know, if you don't, remember Israel wandered for all those years, and you and they and this congregation too will wander in the spiritual wilderness for a number of years as well, until that matter is put right, brethren and sisters. So the priority of the prayer meeting. Let me mention as well, we learn here about the persistence at the prayer meeting. If you look at the words of our text again, it says these all, and notice the word continued, with one accord in prayer. I encourage you to mark that word. They all continued. You know, it's one thing to start to attend, to come now and again, just to pass yourself or to salve your conscience. But it's another thing, it's an entirely different thing, to continue in coming, to keep at it regularly, faithfully. Can I ask you today, are you willing for that? Are you willing to go all the way with God, pay the price, go all the way in the place of prayer? Can I encourage you as you read through the book of Acts, look for the word continued. You'll find it in a number of places. It was the mark of these Christians. For example, in Acts 2, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. They continued in the things of God. But notice here especially, they continued in prayer. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications. They didn't slack. They didn't quit. They didn't turn back. They didn't faint. They didn't give up. Even when the meetings were hard, even when the prayer meeting was difficult, even when there was a dearth and barrenness spiritually, even when the tide went out, what did these Christians do? They held on to God at the throne of grace. And I want to urge you to do the same. You remember when Peter was in prison over in Acts 12? We're told that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Notice the words there, without ceasing. They didn't stop. They kept coming. They kept praying. Can I ask, will you do the same? Do you remember the Savior said, men ought always to pray and not to faint? Just think of how many, maybe even in this meeting, have fainted in prayer. How many have fainted in prayer meeting attendance? The answer didn't come. The answer didn't come to your petitions maybe as quickly as you wanted. So you stopped coming along. You stopped in your attendance. Brethren and sisters, let me appeal to you today. We need to get back. We need to get back to the prayer meeting, seeking the face of God and his blessing upon the witness of the gospel. There's a fellow that lived in the days of David. Doeg was his name. It's an unusual name. He was a servant of King Saul. We're told of Doeg that he was detained before the Lord. That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? Well, that's what this church needs. It needs Christians that are detained. Detained before the Lord. Detained at the throne of grace. Detained in the prayer meeting. That they can't get away from these vital things. And how rare, brethren and sisters, such a Christian is today. Can I ask you, will you be one of them? Will you consider that? That will be a quality, characteristic of your life. You'll be detained before the Lord. You'll have that compulsion in your heart that you'll always be found at the place of prayer when the church gathers to seek the face of the Lord. Here, brethren and sisters, is a great question for you. How much do you really want God's blessing? How much do you really want God to bless your life? How much do you really want God to bless your family? How much do you really want God to bless this church? How much do you really want God to come again in great blessing and in great power upon this land of ours? How much do you really want to see souls saved? The souls of your family, your friends, the souls of this community. What price are you willing to pay as far as time and even as far as work and all of those things are concerned? What price are you willing to pay to get that blessing and to see God work again mightily in the saving of the lost? Do you want it enough that you'll stay on your knees until it comes, until you get it? Do you have the desire, the spirit, like Jacob? The Bible says of Jacob, or his desire was, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Do you have that desire to cry on the Lord and persist in prayer in that manner with that spirit resting upon you? So there's the persistence of the prayer meeting. Think in the third place of the peace of this prayer meeting. Look again at the text. These all continued with one accord in prayer. Notice those words, one accord. Isn't it tragic in these days? You hear of so much trouble in churches. There's the noise of war in the camp. There's wars and rumors of wars. Those words are recorded in Matthew 24, spoken by the Savior about the end times, but there's not just wars today among countries. There's also wars today among Christians, congregations. James said to the believers in the New Testament days, whence come these wars and fightings among you? How very sad that is, brethren and sisters. You think of those words, what a difference. With one accord. They were united. A church united in the prayer meeting. No divisions, no splits, no fights. That was the mark of the Jerusalem church in those days. It was the mark of the church every time they met for prayer. It says in Acts 4, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. The idea there is just like with one voice, with one mouth. And what a blessing, brethren and sisters, that is. The question we need to consider this morning is the question, is that the mark of this church? Is that the mark of our prayer meetings? Do we gather? Do we pray with one accord? Clarence McCartney was a famous American Presbyterian preacher. He tells in his life story that whenever they were going to school, they had to walk quite a distance to school in those days. And every morning when they left home, the mother would give them a verse from the Bible, a verse for them to consider and to think of as they walked along the road, verses that maybe would speak to them about their behavior. And one of the verses that stood out in his mind that the mother gave to them was the words of Joseph to his brothers when he was sending them back from Egypt to bring Jacob from Canaan down to Egypt. See that ye fall not out by the way. It's not good advice for us all. We're on the journey. We're on the pilgrim journey from this world to heaven. And the Lord would say to us, see that ye fall not out by the way. We all need to take those words to heart. Could it be you've fallen out, some other believer, maybe recently, maybe even years ago, that matter's still festering? I want you to see it's a serious thing. I want you to see it's a hindering thing. Hinders prayer, hinders blessing, hinders progress in the work of God. The Savior said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of your Father which is in heaven. The Lord's looking for agreement among his people. He's looking for agreement in the church. He's looking for that agreement, that unity, especially when we pray. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. It's in the context of prayer that those words are written. So is it found in this church, brethren and sisters? Remember, disagreement is a hindrance. It's important to understand that. It's something that needs to be acknowledged, something that needs to be confessed. You think of this. What is needed to sort out disagreement among people generally? And what is needed to sort out a fallout, a disagreement among Christians? One of the first things that's needed is humility. Humility. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Will you humble yourself today and acknowledge that you were wrong in that matter? Maybe go and speak to the person concerned and put it right, fellowship restored. So I want you to think there of the peace in the prayer meeting. One other thing, just quickly, the power of the prayer meeting. That's why we came into chapter 2. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The power of God came down. They were filled with the Spirit. It says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And notice it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But what I want you to notice, don't miss it, is where they were when the power of God came down. Where did they get it? Well, the answer is they got it in the prayer meeting. They were still on their knees before God. And let's be honest, brethren and sisters, isn't that really what is missing today? It's the power in our lives, the power in our witness, the power of God in our meetings, the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon our labours. That's the thing that's absent. And if you want to have that power upon your life and upon this church, if you want to have it again, well, here's where you find it. Here's the only place you find it. Here's where you must go and wait. Isn't that what the Savior told the disciples? He said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You have it there in verse 4 of chapter 1. It says that he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. So he's reminding them of what he had said previously, that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Here's what we need to do. Will you take it to heart today, brethren and sisters? We need to wait before God in prayer. We need to wait together collectively as a congregation, as we have the example set out here in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we need to wait in prayer until we have that power. In the words of our motto text, it's time to seek the Lord until. And the idea is keep on seeking him until he rains righteousness upon us. So this, brethren and sisters, this is the path to power. This is the path to blessing. This was the path for the early church to the power of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit upon them. And it's still the same today. be under no illusion with regard to that. This is the only place that the power of God can be found, in an old-fashioned church prayer meeting. Do you remember those prayer meetings Mr. Douglas told us about when he was here giving his testimony? Way back in 1949, when they gathered together, the early years of Mr. Paisley's ministry in the Ravenhill Road, that they prayed over a whole weekend, even through the night. And those prayer meetings changed the course of the ministry of that church, changed perhaps even the course of the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole in this province at that time. It brought the power down. It brought the power of God upon this land. And the road to power, brethren and sisters, is still the same. Don't let anybody fool you or tell you there's another way. There is no alternative to experiencing the power of God in your life. And there's no alternative to experiencing the power of God in the life of the church. The New Testament, the words of Christ, he said he will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. May the Lord write those words in your heart today. How do we get the Holy Spirit in our lives? How do we get the power of the Holy Spirit again in the church and upon our meetings? He will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That's the road. That's the way. We need to seek his face. So if you want to see God change this church, if you want to see God change the meetings, the ministry of this church and every department of it, it'll only happen, brethren and sisters. It will only happen if we renew our focus on prayer and on the prayer meetings of this congregation. So I ask you, will you do that? Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the blessed word of God. The text says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. We're going to sing, as we close, a verse or two of 638. The hymn 638, visit us, Lord, with revival. We're stricken with coldness and death, and where is our hope of survival? Save in thy life-giving breath. We'll sing together verses 1, 4, and 5. So we'll leave out 2 and 3. 1, 4, and 5, and we'll rise to sing, please.
Right.
just commit ourselves to the Lord. Father, we ask you to bless your word to all our hearts today. Pray that you'll write this word upon our hearts, speak on to us. And Lord, we ask that you will teach us to pray. We ask that personally, individually. We ask it as a church, as a congregation. We ask thee, Father, to give us grace to continue in prayer. We ask that you'll bless the prayer meetings of this church. Pray that you'll strengthen them. We ask, Father, that we'll see our prayers answered. We pray that it'll be evident to the congregation that God is at work in answer to our prayers. We pray, Father, that you'll lead us on. We ask thee to give us the spirit of prayer and supplication of which the prophet Zechariah spoke of. Pour it out mightily upon us. Give us that burden. Lord, we're conscious that our land is in much need of prayer at this time. Your word exhorts that if we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then will you hear from heaven, forgive our sins and heal our land. So we ask the Lord to lead us on. Do bless us through today. Come upon us in the service tonight. We pray that you'll bring in visitors. We pray, Father, for the lost of this city. We pray for a burden for them, those still in spiritual darkness. We ask, Father, that you'll draw men and women in to the service tonight. And we want to pray, Father, put your seal upon that service, even in the saving of souls. Hear our cries. We ask thee to grant us your presence as we leave the meeting this morning. Go with us. And we pray that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.